This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode 131. The apocalypse is upon us!
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast, folks.
Good morning, people.
How you been? Oh, sounds like somebody needs another cup of coffee.
I do, but I'm not going to go get it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So we are actually functioning a little bit outside of the norm.
A little bit.
We're starting a little bit earlier than we usually
do. A little bit.
Okay, like a lot.
Thank you.
And it was basically because we were supposed to have a very special guest host today, but we got stood up.
Yeah.
Tear.
I don't know why.
I have tears in my coffee now.
That just makes your coffee watery.
I know, which I don't like. I like my coffee strong like bull. So, okay. Milk Chan, we don't know what happened, but...
Is it sleep? Did sleep get you?
Did you get pwned by sleep?
It's okay. Sleep's really a hard, villain.
Sleep is a very powerful villain and very easily pwns people. I, myself, have been pwned by sleep before.
Me too. Every day, actually.
So we're going to let this one slide, Milk. And we're going to
only this one.
Yeah, you only get one, okay? Everybody gets one.
But then if we give you more than one, then other people will be like, you only gave me one, and then my horse becomes bigger than your horse. And
look, I don't want to talk about who's bigger than what. All I'm going to say is, Spider-Man says everybody gets one. So, Milk, that was your one.
Yep.
So we'll work on getting you on the show. In the future.
Future.
Yeah. So we've got some business to do. You got to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any comments about those or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can go check us out there because we happen to be there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also found on the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of the ESH podcast airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can listen to our show there, as well as some really wonderful, fun, entertaining shows that, like... Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Live.
Ultimate Quest.
Happy Fun Time Show.
Evil Avatar.
Video Game Outsiders.
Chatterbox.
Bobby Blackwolf Show.
I mean, there's so much over there. Really. Between us and the rest of those guys over there, you're going to probably end up peeing yourself laughing. At least once.
Neither
bare
does it all
minimum.
The time.
You know what? Screw you. I do not.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Yeah, you do.
Don't bring up the incontinence, okay? Because it's bullshit. If you're gonna bring up the peeing myself thing, I'm gonna bring up a whole lot of other things that I'm sure the crew at Dead Pixel Live would love to have in audio format such that they may report it to their fetus leader. I'm just saying, you have a tendency to, especially in audio form, stick your foot in your mouth.
I'm not going there. Let's keep going.
All right. We'll keep the show rolling. So moving on, outside of checking out our show, you guys have been definitely taking advantage of the Hit Us Up link, and we love it. Keep
your
questions and comments coming. We've got a couple that we actually want to cover here today. So I'm actually going to start it off. First, the easy one. P P-Money says hi. I say, what's up, P-Money?
Hi, P-Money.
How you doing? Yeah.
What does the P stand for?
I don't know. Like, I'm not exactly sure. Money? It could be power people's money. It could be the people's money. It could be
Paul's money.
Po' money. I mean, there's all
po
kinds
money.
Of...
Po' money. Po' money.
All kinds of places you can go with that. But he said, hi. I said, what's up? I'm assuming it's a he. It could be a she. It could be Paula's money. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to say, you said hi. I said, what's up?
Oh, it's too bad it's not the other way around. Money P, because I'd be like, Money Penny? Are we going 007 on us? Hey, what?
Miss Money Penny. Gosh. No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. No, that would have been funny, though.
Then we also got a couple of other things that have come in. So one question that came in wanted to know what we thought about some of the rumors about CES downsizing, as well as some other downsizing things that are going on in the industry. So what do you think about the CES stuff? First of all, how much do you know?
Well, I mean, I have very limited knowledge about CES.
Because I know that's usually my thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, the downsizing thing is something I think anyone can comment on. The country's going through a giant amount of downsizing. So
it's ginormous in its reductionistness.
Yeah. So in the spirit of that, am I that surprised? No. Is anybody really surprised? No. I mean... look at what's been going on in the blogosphere and, you know, in everyday life. People are losing jobs. It's kind of the thing right now. So it's the it thing right now is to not have a job.
It's not that it's the it thing. It's just kind of the reality.
It's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. So let's go with that because that's definitely the deal. So here's the thing about CES. Attendance was way down this year.
Well, because it costs money to get on a plane.
Well, look, it costs money to get on a plane. It costs money to have a hotel. It costs money to eat. The only thing that they typically give away for free at a CES, any event, is usually hors d'oeuvres that you don't want to eat and booze, which you can only survive on. Now, don't get me wrong. I love free booze. This is not me condemning free booze because I freaking heart that shit. But I can't live on just free booze and not showering. It doesn't work that way. So let's take a step back. Well, because you know there's usually con funk. Even CES has con funk.
Oh, Anime Boston has con funk.
It's not bad like an Anime Boston or PAX.
Oh, God, let's not even go into this.
I mean, because most people actually do shower and things like that. But there's still a little bit of funk. Okay, moving step backwards. As many people as CES reported were in attendance this year, both physically in attendance and those that signed up. Their numbers were a little inflated because they had already signed me up to go and accepted my application before I actually even applied.
Oh, wow.
So I know that they were trying to boost their numbers and this happened months ago because I'm quite sure that they felt that there was going to be a much lower attendance. And I don't knock that. If you've got people that are alumni that typically go every year, you can go ahead and pre-register them. That makes sense because more likely than not, they're going to show up. But if you take a look at anyone's video coverage of CES, one of the things that you'll notice is that no matter where they were, whether if they were in the home audio section, the car audio section, gadgets, Microsoft, whatever, there wasn't a lot of foot traffic. This is the first year that CES actually dumbed down the amount of space that they reserved in the convention center for show floor space, which doesn't happen. There were complete areas that were not sold, that were just carpeted. So I think if you take a look at things like Apple not going to Macworld anymore and the amount of people that, you know, did not show at CES and are planning on having their own smaller events, trade shows are in trouble. But yes, I think absolutely CES is going to downsize even more than what they did this year. It's better to downsize and still have foot traffic than to stay the same and not. Because then you're going to wind up going, you know, the way of a Comdex or some other trade shows that no longer exist. And CES, I think, still is too important to not exist.
Yeah.
There are way too many companies, third party, fourth party, you know, companies that haven't signed distribution deals yet, that this is their major way of getting exposure and meeting people that bring venture capital, as well as introducing products to the public and building hype for the subsequent year of releases. So I still see a need for CES. I think that, like E3, though, it's going to have to do a revamping. And I think part of the deal is it's got to become just a little bit more affordable for the public to attend. Because bloggers, your mainstream media, we can get in. And we can make a field day of it. And I think that you kind of have to split an area apart for just the consumers to come in to look at products. And I think that that should be more affordable. I think that you could make, you know, a pavilion just for the public, charge $20 a head so that they can come in and take a look at some of the stuff that's coming out, let's say within the next 3 months. All the companies that want to show off their upcoming releases for whatever period of purchasing that we're going into, whether it's before holiday or after still. I think that that would be a thing that would help drive a lot of traffic, especially in a place like Las Vegas. Because then you could bring in a lot of foot traffic that wouldn't necessarily want to go to CES. And now you're bringing those people in at $20 a head. You know, the families that are visiting Vegas at the time wanting to have something to do with the kids during the day. You know, if a family of four can get in for $80 and be able to have their kids get hands-on for a Wii for a little bit or see what's coming up with new cameras, especially if they're on vacation. I mean, you've got a market right there. You set up a purchasing pavilion and, you know, I mean, you can charge and make money hand over fist while in the background you have your press, venture capital people, and so on actually in the main pavilion going through the trade show piece of it. So I think that there are a lot of things that you can do to still keep CES very viable, even while taking less space and bringing it down. So I'll be curious to see what that all turns into and what the outcome is. I don't think that we'll see CES die just yet.
No, me neither.
With all of the surrounding little trade shows like the Pepcom shows and, of course, the adult video network trade show, which loves rescheduling itself so it goes off at the same time as CES. If nothing else, AVN will keep CES alive for at least the next couple of years. And viable, because, you know, computers and porn, I don't think there was ever a better match made other than peanut
butter. That's a relationship that will transcend time.
Yeah, other than peanut butter and jelly. I think porn and computers pretty much are in that
echelon. Porn and computers are the new peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, we got a heads up from AlphaBox, who just wanted to give a shout out, send some love.
Let us know that
Alpha loves what we do. We love doing it. We're going to keep doing it. Yeah. So that's what I've got. I know that you've got a question, Panda.
Yes, it's actually probably the most extensive question I think we've ever really received.
Yeah, there are five definitely.
Question.
And here's the thing. They're organized very well. So thank you very much for that.
I am so surprised and so happy about this. So this email with a plethora of questions comes from a new commenter, Trinity Angel. So first of all, hi.
Hola.
She says hello to us. So hi to you. And I'm glad that you've been listening to the show. I'm glad that you like what we do. We like doing it. And let's jump into all of your questions. So the first one, and I'm going to read this because they're actually very extensive. So I can't just say, oh, well, she asked us a question about this. So question one. She wants to know what we think about Saints Row compared to GTA 4. And this is because she has been having a debate with her brother over these two games. And apparently neither of them have played Saints Row 1. And, yeah. But they liked 2.
So let's start with that question.
So I haven't played any of the Saints Row games. I have only played GTA 4. I didn't even play any of the GTAs until now. I've seen friends of mine play the GTA games before 4, but then I figured that I would play 4, and I absolutely love it. Yeah. So I don't know anything about Saints Row 2. So I'd have to put my vote where my information is, and or maybe even just pick up a demo of it and play it and then be able to fully answer this question later on. It's really hard to say, because I know when I first got GTA 4, there was so much buzz and there was so much hype for it that it's seriously the only thing that I played on my Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, you know, unless you play through the whole game pretty much through the hype, if you stopped like halfway through, a lot of people put their game down. And I know a lot of my friends exchanged GTA 4 for games that came out later on because they got so bored with it that they dropped it. I still have my copy.
Speaking of which, we should play some of that later on online.
We should.
Yeah.
I haven't played it recently, but I mean, even I have thought about exchanging it, but I'm like, no, I really like this game. I really want to see the ending of this game. So even if I'm not that interested in it now, I know I'll go back. And I think that's one of those things that good games do to you.
Right.
Because if it was that horrible of a game, my GameStop is literally 15 minutes away from my house. I could drive up there, drop it off, and get something else. But something tells me to hold on to it. So it's got that appeal to me.
So I haven't played Saints Row 2. I only got a little bit of hands-on time with it when I was at PAX. But I have played Saints Row 1, and I do have GTA 4. So I've played previous GTA games. I haven't owned any, but I've played them. I did not play San Andreas. I played 2 and 3 back when it was all overhead shot and good times. Anyway, and Saints Row 1. The only reason why I don't have Saints Row 2 is, in all honesty, there were other games I was really interested in more than Saints Row 2. That being said, comparing the two, I think it comes down to really what kind of game enthusiast you are as to if GTA is better than Saints Row or Saints Row is better than GTA. I think that for multiplayer fun without having a whole lot of setup and really not a terrific amount of story, but, you know, a piece of story, Saints Row wins out over GTA. As far as just pick up, go, fun, blow shit up, be okay. The bad guy. If you want that backstory, if you've come from franchise, because remember, Saints Row is just starting out in its franchise history. 2 just came out. You know, GTA's been around for frickin' ever. And will continue to be out for frickin' ever. Because whether it's a game that you keep for a long time or not, you're still going to have a big chunk of time where you're enjoying the game. For me, I like GTA more than Saints Row.
Okay.
And the reason why is GTA 4, and I'm hoping 5 when it is released, basically is a much more enjoyable game story-wise, as far as actually having something propelling you forward. Exactly. Actually having something propelling you forward. You don't have to propel forward if you don't want to in Saints Row. You really don't.
You don't have to really propel forward in GTA, you know, 4 either. I mean, you could stay local.
You get to a point, though, where you've got nothing. Yeah. I mean,
nothing else.
You get to a point where you've run all the missions for Brucey, and you've done all the stuff for little Jacob, and then Roman starts calling you all the time about whether or not you're going to get your revenge on Dimitri. And pretty much keeps calling you.
Until you do it.
You know, so you get to a point where you are propelled forward. And I like that. I like being able to run around and do what I want, but I also like at some point being brought back to, oh, don't forget, bitch, there's a story. And you gotta finish it. So let's go.
So let's do it.
And I really like that. And I love the online play. Because, yeah, we're gonna have to play that when we finish now.
I'll have a better, now that I've been playing more shooter games, I think I'll have a lot more accuracy in shooting people in the face.
Pow in your face!
Thanks to Gears of War 2.
Yeah. I told you that game was sick. So,
oh man, I kind of don't want to give it back to you, but I kind of have to.
Yeah. Or you need to buy me one.
Okay. Or I can send yours back and buy me one.
Yeah, you could do that too. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can solve that little issue.
Yeah.
But, I think it's a really great question because it's a very good comparison to make. as far as being the bad guy. Because there's, you know, a lot of games where you get to do that kind of destruction and shoot 'em ups, and that you're the bad guy, and it's okay to align with the bad guy. I mean, because Niko Bellic is not really a hero.
No.
He's not a good dark hero. Yeah. You know, and in Saints Row, just a bunch of bangers. You know, whereas if you were to compare it to something like a Metal Gear or things like that, you know, Solid Snake is a good guy. There's no way around it, you know. Son of the Patriot. So, great question. And I fall in the GTA camp.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I haven't played Saints Row, but I mean, I saw the promos for it and nothing compelled me to rush to GameStop. I mean, literally, as soon as GTA came out, I went first day and got it.
Well, you know, part of that is going to be in marketing. You know, Saints Row is marketed okay, but they didn't have the kind of marketing that GTA did. I mean, the GTA marketing was everywhere. The commercials with Niko Bellic strolling, the GameStop ones, the ones that came straight from Rockstar, the web campaign, you know, and the Grand Theft Auto commercials are everywhere, nationwide. Most of the time, the only Saints Row commercials I've ever seen have been on channels that are marketed to our demographic. It's like Spike, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, on Adult Swim, and Sci-Fi. I haven't really seen Saints Row commercials, you know, around the Oprah time slot.
Right.
But I did see a Grand Theft Auto one around Oprah one time. Not that I'm admitting to watching Oprah. But sometimes, you know, you leave the TV on and all of a sudden, there she is.
She's taking over. She's taking over the TV.
Hey, she had Dennis Leary on the other day. So I was like, hey, all right.
All right.
If Dennis is caving, if Dennis is joining the apocalypse ranks of Oprah.
Coming. The Oprah apocalypse is the apocalypse is coming.
Is upon us.
All right. Okay. Going on into question two from Trinity is... she just bought BioShock for the PS3, mm-hmm. and she wants to know what our opinion is of the game.
Don't play it in the dark.
And she makes a comment that she's not very good at first-person shooters. But she got it on sale, so it seemed interesting. And apparently she hasn't heard if we've done a review of this game before, and I know you have.
Yeah, we talked about scary games a couple of times, and BioShock makes it onto my list, which is why I say don't play it in the dark.
I mean, I know for a fact when I had come to visit you down there in Ninjaville, you had me in Hot Mess tinker with it at your place. And even during the day, I had this immense fear of not pressing buttons.
Well, here's the deal, okay? Hot Mess loves survivor horror games. And even he put the controller down about halfway through the first mission.
Nope.
It's like, nah, I'm good. And that's the mark of a really good scary game. So let me tell you about BioShock from my opinion. Because I've put aside my copy for the Xbox for you, Panda. So when you come to visit next time, you can take it back with you. Because I have BioShock both for the Xbox 360 and for the PS3. I've only put BioShock in my PS3 two times now. Because it still scares the bejesus out of me.
Haven't you beaten it yet?
No.
It's like, you know a game's scary when you don't even want to finish it.
No, it's gorgeous, and I want to finish it, but I'm...
A vagina.
No. I have one, but no. The breakdown, really, for me is it's a great game. Visually, it's stunning. The story is great. The twist that it will take you on is very good. And not clumsily done, which is nice. If you got it on sale, you definitely will get your money's worth.
Yeah, she said that she did.
Because I think that BioShock is one of the games that really will become the model for not only survival horror games moving forward for the next year or so, but also for action titles. And you've already seen some of that. And some of the games that are coming out. Okay, the Tomb Raider Underworld game is probably the most fleshed out 3D Tomb Raider game that I've seen in a long time. It, you know, it's really moved away from focusing on Lara's ass and her tits.
Nice, because there's a lot more to her, too.
Exactly, and really focusing on the puzzle piece, the action piece, the story piece. And I think that all of that comes out of BioShock. You have great-looking games now that also don't sacrifice story and all of gameplay. I mean, there's still bugs. There's not going to be a perfect game. The industry, as far as making money, does not allow for the perfect game. Because it would take too long to develop. Develop cycles right now are too long, being 2 and 3 years. If you really were to make the perfect game, I think it would really probably take about a 4-year cycle to do. And I don't think that any company...
I would even say maybe 5.
Right. But I can you see trying to pitch that to, especially at this time?
Like, yeah, it's like, this game's going to be so awesome, be perfect. What's the downside? It's going to take me 5 years.
Exactly. You know, yeah. I think that you'll see it more. I think that God of War 3 is also going to be just as polished. And I really think that God of War kind of set the template that BioShock came in and now has owned the template and redefined it and sent that back out as a, okay, bitches, here's the mark. Can you hit it?
So, is BioShock a Punisher game? Like, you talk about, you know, God of War being one of those games where, you know, every time you see a save point, take it.
Yes.
It's one of those?
Yes, it is.
I like
those
games.
Yes, it is. Well, because they keep you on your toes and they keep you active. And they keep you really, I think, engaged in what's going on. You know, if I don't have to worry about save points or getting to a save point, I really start to check out of a game pretty early.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, you know, hey, I can always come back
and
pick it up.
Worst, I'm about to hit a boss battle. It's like, it's all right if I fuck it up because I can save right before it.
Exactly. So then I start checking out and I'm not as worried about it. And no, BioShock punishes you. So definitely, you know, when you're done getting your co-op on in Saints Row, if the light's still shining bright outside, Trinity, pop in BioShock.
Unless you're like, you won't be Xena Warrior Princess and you're not scared of the dark and you can poke this game
then
in the dark.
Seriously, put it on in the dark. If you've got a surround sound system, turn your bass up, turn off all the lights, and have at it.
Oh, and have like a rickety flashlight next to you just for dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm. And cool. Shoot us an email when you do that and let us know how your therapy afterwards worked out.
Okay.
Next question!
Her third question is, she's talking about Resident Evil 5. Mm. And she asks us if we've seen the CGI movie that came out promoting the game. And if we did, what we thought. I've seen it at Best Buy. I was not inclined to buy it. And that is because, for one thing, I love games. And I love movies.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of games making movies solely for promotion. I understand that that's a marketing tactic, and most people will buy it just because. But they don't usually, they're not very engaging to me, and they're not very appealing. And I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to touch it. And when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, here comes a movie that's pretty much going to tell me what the game's about. So then why is there really a point in playing the game if you're going to make a movie? Right. So it's either make the game and then later on make a horrible movie, or make a horrible movie and then make the game bomb. But don't try to do them both simultaneously, because it makes me mad.
So.
And it made me mad.
Yeah, I can tell.
Did you see the movie?
I didn't see the movie, and I didn't have to see the movie, because I fall in a very similar camp. That's how you know that we are related.
Wait.
I don't mind videos being done as promotional materials. I really don't. I think that the industry needs that, because it's another boost to the economy. And the more money you make, the more money you can invest in your games, the better games I get. So I'm all about keeping that circle running. At the same time, don't half-ass do it. So I'm a little concerned with seeing all of the animated companion tales that are coming out with some of these games.
Now there's a little bit more to the question, because she comments that she thought it was okay, but she thought that the Dead Space animation was better. And I believe that was an anime. And I haven't had a chance to check that out yet. And I just recently put the Dead Space demo on my Xbox.
Yeah.
Because then she asked about the game. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I was compelled to even get the demo and possibly end up getting the game is very good on it. Because, one, I don't tend to like really scary things, and I don't usually buy them. Mm-hmm. So when a game is that alluring to me that I'm willing to go and demo it to the point where I'm most likely going to buy it, you know, it speaks highly of the game.
Right.
And its mechanics. So I got the demo. Like I said, I'm most likely going to buy it. And she's thinking about renting it. I say do it. What do you say?
I'm a big believer in try before you buy, especially in an economy where you don't know if you're going to be getting a paycheck next week. Okay?
So, well, that's why I got the demo.
Big time, take advantage of demos and rental before purchasing and plopping down your 40, 50, 60, 70 bucks, depending upon how new it is and where you're buying it from. Absolutely take advantage of that. With that being said, I have seen the Dead Space animation movie, and I liked it. I thought it was good. Okay. I really did. And I had played Dead Space at a couple of trade shows. I had the demo. I'm not real big on survival horror either, but as far as survival horror games go, it is very spooky. I put it in the same category group as I put BioShock. Okay, it's in that. It's really good, the gameplay's really good, and shit jumps out at you when you don't expect it to jump out at you.
Well, that's the point.
Shoot it in the head, kill it, kill it, kill it. Well, because there's a difference between a game like a House of the Dead series and a thriller. And I put BioShock and Dead Space in the thriller category and not just the shock category.
Okay,
throwing zombies out of a room right in front of your face so that you go, ah, and then have to hit the trigger, that's more of a shock. A thriller is something that really gets into your mind if
right.
you let it, and Dead Space and BioShock will do that if you let them, because okay. they're crafted to be that good. So, but at All the right. same time, I don't want to see games just in order to make money, to take the extra time to do an animated piece, or some kind of DVD piece that they sell to bring in money to then get you for the art book and then get you for the game. And because they put efforts into those other, you know, pre-game features, that now the actual playable game sucks because
it's lacking in those things that would have made them
and
better.
And that's what I get scared about is, you know, we'd rather half-ass the game and half-ass the prequel material than...
But super boat. And super push marketing and super
and
super everything else except the game.
Exactly. Super promote and underdevelop. That I'm very scared of that, especially right now with the economy doing what it's doing. So I'm going to be keeping an eye out on that, and I'll let you know if I see any more popping up that, you know, give me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay.
In my pantsordial area.
Her fourth question is directed more or less at me than you, but uh-huh. you might be able to comment on this maybe.
Okay, don't
so, she goes, well, Panda, since you're the anime expert, she just finished watching Death Note season one. And she makes the reference that, yeah, she was a little late with this. And don't worry, it's okay. Because this is the kind of party that it's okay if you're that late. Because once you get
it's
there, you're
fashionable.
Like, oh, it's completely fashionable to be late in
to
this
the
type
Death
of
Note party.
This, yeah, especially because most likely you're still alive by the time you get there.
Also, Ergo Proxy is okay to be late, to be tardy to the party on.
Yeah, I have my doubts with Ergo Proxy, but it was still beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, she wanted to know what I thought about the anime versus the live action. I have seen both, so I can actually comment. To be 100% honest with you.
Yep. Don't be less than that.
I like the anime better. We had seen the movie. We had seen the Death Note movie, the first part of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think halfway through us watching it, the series, in the anime club that I happen to run. And I don't know. I was far more drawn in. I mean, live actions are not always supposed to be exactly like the series. Like, they have their own creative differences, which is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for something that had as big of a hype as Death Note had and its fan base. I mean, I really would have wanted it to be more like the series.
Okay.
You know, and they made it far too soft, in my opinion.
Okay.
And, you know, and Japan is great, with making movies that push the bound, like push the limits of how far an imagination can go. I mean, hello, The Ring and The Audition. I mean, they have a knack for this type of stuff. And when you watch Death Note, I mean, come on, a book that can kill people however you want.
You could do so much with this.
I feel the anime did more. And I feel the anime did much more to this story than the live action did.
Okay.
That's just me. I mean, I liked both of them. Could I watch them both over and over again? Yes. Will I just like the anime better a little bit more? Probably. But they're both things to invest in. I mean, if the live action came to DVD here in America, I would buy it.
If you had money and a job.
You know, in the imaginary world of Panda, I don't need to worry about that.
In Pandaland.
In Pandaland, things just materialize before me.
Mm.
So I don't have to worry about that. And we're playing in the realm of Panda, so I can say whatever I want.
All right, fine. I'm not knocking it.
So what about you?
For me, I've seen all of Death Note. Absolutely love the anime. Love it. And I've only seen about half of the live action.
Okay.
Because that's all I needed to see. And I went, anime. I'm good. And stopped watching it. I don't like anime being turned into live action as a direct port. So I'll put it in those kind of video game terms. I think that taking the essence or the idea of an anime and turning that into a story, so taking the idea of Death Note and creating a completely new story with live action would have been better.
Okay.
For me, just like if you were to take something like Witch Hunter Robin, which I think you could do as a live action movie, but it would need to be a completely different storyline than the existing anime.
Well, I mean, I know for a fact, you know, like, since I know a couple weeks ago we were talking about Sailor Moon, they did a live action of Sailor Moon, which I have procured through methods.
Methods.
And they really take such a different spin that it ruins the original essence of the anime. So I understand that.
So I think because it's a known quantity, it comes back to the conversations that we've had before about book versus film adaptation. Nothing is as good as your imagination. And live action, I don't care how good your effects are, just are not going to ever be able to stand up to what you can get away with if it's animated. It doesn't compare. The visual doesn't compare. The suspension of disbelief isn't the same. So they don't match. So for me, it would need to be a completely different story carrying the principles of the original around. So I would have enjoyed Death Note better if it had started with a whole new book falling to a whole new character. Not explaining any of the backstory of how the Death Note, you know, the book came to be, or how really it came to be in the possession of a human, just that it's now been in that possession. It's a new Shinigami, and it's a new vamp. Maybe not somebody who's bent on recreating the entire world, but maybe somebody that's just bent on revenge from, I don't know, maybe a crime syndicate family. That could be cool.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool.
You know, somebody from, I don't know, the Yakuza kills somebody in this person's family. And
yeah, but can't getting that, though, because then they just be like, I'll off the whole family.
No. Okay, I've just thought of my movie now in my head. So here's my version of Death Note. Kid of a crime boss. Okay, we'll put him at about 14.
Okay? Right.
Okay. A member of a rival family tries to take out his entire family, which the rule in the mob families is you never go after family members. You go after the underlings and bosses and sub-bosses, but you never go after people's family. Rival family takes out everybody but this kid. Bored Shinigami goes, you know what? I'm going to give this kid, who's about to lose his mind, Death Note, see what happens. Because I feel kind of bad and, you know, it could be fun. Drops the book, kid gets the book. So now the kid's going to go and get revenge.
Okay.
But first has to track down who knows what before he can get to the family and take him out that took out his family.
Isn't that my Death Note. Punisher, only with the Death Note?
No. Because one, we're talking about adolescence, so of course he's going to mess up. You got to have that older, wiser mentor that comes in and tries to convince him to get rid of the book. And, you know, so you add like Karate Kid with some it's Punisher. Like,
Master, I want to avenge my family in time.
You know, revenge is not the best way to go. It always takes an exact sum toll. There's a bitch in there someplace, and she winds up getting killed because of it. And so
once
he starts
you take
questioning.
This pen to my hand, you may use the Death Note. Fuck that. Get my own pen.
Write on, erase off. Write on, erase off. You know, but there are ways that you can carry the idea forward without having to rehash the existing. I think that anytime you rehash the existing, you're asking for trouble. Like right now, I don't know why, but there have been some movies that have been remade that didn't need to be remade. Like, The Earth Stood Still. That didn't need to be remade. The original was quite awesome by itself. Last House on the Left. Why on earth did we remake Last House on the Left?
What was that about?
You've never seen it?
Oh.
We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, to get down to it, I think that the animated thing, is always going to be better. Even the animated Street Fighter movie was better than the live action. And I'm not really holding out a whole lot of hope for the new live action Street Fighter movie. Kristen Kruk, really? Really? That's the only person we could come up with to play Chun-Li. Zhang Ziyi didn't pop into anybody's mind, especially now that her English is getting better.
But I think she's too thin, and Chun-Li had superpower thunder thighs.
If we could do entire Star Wars movies on green screen, I think we could bulk Zhang Ziyi up.
Okay. Well, no offense. I mean, like, didn't you see, like, the pictures from Street Fighter 4? I mean, her legs are, like, beefy.
Yeah, and Kristen Kruk has beefy legs?
No, but... Yeah.
And how Chinese does Kristen Kruk look? Compared to, Zhang Ziyi?
Yeah, okay. Mm. Okay.
Who looks better in anime buns? Kristen Kruk or Zhang Ziyi?
Okay, well...
I'm just saying, right. I mean, I'm not casting movies out there. But I should be. When it comes to video game and comic book ones.
In our mind, we are the cast.
I am the best casting director for video game movies
ever.
Ever. I'm telling you, Michael Clark Duncan is Panthro. Just saying.
Good
point.
Throw
it out there.
Okay. Mm. And the last question that she has, it's not anime or gaming related. Okay. She just wants to know where Magic Mystic is. And frankly,
Magic Mystic fell into a manhole, and we've been trying desperately to get her out.
It doesn't look promising. It's lupus.
It's not lupus.
No, it's lupus.
It's not lupus.
And I don't think she's coming back. So all of you diehard Magic Mystic fans who have been secretly hoping that she would come and return to the show, I don't see it happen.
I would not hold my breath. For that.
I wouldn't go on any hunger strikes unless you want to lose some weight.
Seriously. Or die. So don't do that. Don't do that.
I hope you didn't have any suicide packs because, you know.
You lost the interest.
Yeah. Though it doesn't mean that it will just be me and Ninja holding down the fort. We are thinking of bringing us. Yeah. We're working on it.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
We've had some conversations.
There will be many voices for you to hear and fall in love with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rolling in and out, and who knows? We might
have come back to visit in spirit.
You know, or, you know, actually visit. We don't know.
Maybe.
But
we're not sure.
No. So. But all jokes aside, it's just something that magic has grown onto some other things, and life pops up and gets in the way. And we wish her all the best. And it's been fun having her on the show and on the site. And anytime she wants to pop back in and on, she's more than welcome. Always will have a home here. But it's just not conducive right now for
right
her.
Now,
so.
For her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all jokes aside. And when that happens and she comes back, we will throw parades and candy and other things in
that
general direction.
It'll be the parade where she'll have to walk by herself because, you know, it's the only one.
And we'll be like, the Emperor has no clothes! like that.
So Trinity, thank you for these questions.
Keep them coming. We love your questions.
We like questions, and now that we actually answer them on the show.
Or just saying hi. We love that stuff, too.
Yeah.
But we like hearing what you guys have to think and what's really on your minds. Because, you know, we have our little stuff, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily what you're thinking. So keep using the hit us up link off of the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. And who knows, your questions may be read on air and answered or avoided like the plague. You just don't know.
So now that we got all the mail out of the way, don't we have an actual show?
Yeah, I think we do have an actual show, so... Where do I want to...
We should get into that.
We should probably do that, since we've now gotten past the apocalypse and...
Of the males.
Of the males and whatnot. So I'm actually going to jump in and say one thing here real quick, and then I'll let you do your thing, and time permitting, I'll wrap up and bat clean up here.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of stuff has been going on, really, in the last month. Where we've been talking about downsizing within the game industry. We all know about EGM finally shuttering up and being no more, 1UP losing some people and having to revamp how they do their reviews and podcasts and website. And on top of that, we also know about the Gamerscore blog being retired. But this past week has been especially hard for us in the community, as we found out that at least some of my really good friends from the Gamerscore blog are sans employment right now.
Oh, no.
So, to Chris Palladino, John Procaro, Nelson Rodriguez, and my girl Dirty Diva, I want to say a heart, y'all. I love community. I love what you brought to the gamer community for the Xbox Live system. The Gamerscore blog was one of the first press groups to actually welcome ESH in as a contender, bring us out to events, send us information, send us product to review. And really spend some time sitting down with us and talking about community games and just being generally awesome to us. So I am heartfelt when I say, I'm sorry you guys lost your jobs. That sucks.
Yeah, dude. I don't even have a job and I feel bad that you guys lost yours.
I just had to get that off my chest because it has really been weighing on me in my Twitters.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I've been tweeting about that a lot. Because it sucks. So.
Okay.
I will now hand the mic of 1,000 Truths back to you.
So the first game that I've demoed recently was Fear 2 Project Origin.
Ooh.
And I know that I've talked about this game at least 3 times before because I was, when the coverage over at E3 happened, I was like, oh my god, for you know, a shooter, I'm actually really interested. I want to know more, which is enough to say because I'm usually very uninterested in shooters. You know, but it really kind of caught me by surprise. And the demo finally released on the 20th of January. It was
on
up
Obama
there.
On Obama Day.
On Obama Day, yep. It was released, the demo. Was that the... Yeah.
Yeah, it was Obama Day.
Yeah, it was on Obama Day. And it's a free download, obviously. It's a demo. They can't really... Can they charge you for demos?
It depends. Okay.
All right, well,
there are some demo things that have... had a price on them, but typically now demos are free because more companies want to get their demos in the hands of people.
Okay. So, like I said, I've talked about this game before, but only on an aesthetic level.
She means how it looked.
Yeah, that's what aesthetics means.
I'm sorry. My sugar is now kicking in and I'm being an asshole and I apologize.
Okay. And now that I've had some action in the game, I wanted to comment further. I'm sorry. The demo came out on the 22nd, not the 20th.
Oh.
And the game is scheduled to release February 10th of this year. There are two points of views that I've gotten to experience through this demo. Me being a beginner in this whole game as a series, and I also was playing with a friend of mine who has played the first one, and I had watched him play first, and I'll just refer to him as C.
Okay.
So he was playing first, and I was watching him play, you know, in terms of the mechanics and trying to get a feel for how the game actually works. And apparently there's been some, you know, this jointed argument about the controls, because apparently in Fear there is an option where you can kind of slow down time,
mm-hmm.
do a better chance to, oh, I don't know, headshot people and mm-hmm. blow them up with your bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this was triggered by the L trigger or the R trigger before, and now they have it set up in the demo that it's now the Y button. So going into this demo, if you feel that your knowledge of Fear 1 will help you, it won't, because they've changed
the
game.
So they've changed the controller layout.
And in the demo that I watched him play, it does not walk you through those changes. So half the time he kept getting killed because he was trying to trigger slow motion and it wasn't working.
Demos typically don't walk you through the controller layout, though. They're usually not the first level of a game.
No.
It usually walks you through the controllers. They usually jump into the content so you get an idea of what you'll really be in for. So I wouldn't be surprised at that, but I am surprised that they redistributed out the controller map.
Yeah. So at first he really couldn't, he was having a hard time, you know, like the moving, like directionals and stuff were still the same, but some of the firing stuff was a little off. Mm-hmm. So it took him a little bit. And the graphics were just, for a demo, the graphics were just amazing. And apparently, you know, not only do you have to worry about the AI coming at you and trying to kill you, and the presence of Alma is so much more than I thought it was going to be. Because in most shooter games, the main boss, the person you're really trying to go after, one, doesn't really get revealed until the middle of the game.
Right.
Because usually the person you're pursuing isn't the head honcho, but is like the underling of the head honcho. And then mm-hmm. you're like, crap, I've been chasing the wrong person this whole time. And then you go after the real guy.
Yeah.
You know, but in this game, in this level, like I said, you know, like you were saying, you don't get thrown into the beginning of the game. You're somewhere in the middle. And the guy that you play in this demo, who, you know, I think his name is Sergeant, where is it on my cue card? I can't find it. In my eyes.
Notes.
Yeah, I have my notes written here. I showed them to you.
I know.
But I can't, I don't think I wrote his name on this card.
Sergeant Ass-Picker.
Yeah, we'll just call him that. As you're playing through, and you're walking around a couple of times while you're fighting some of these AI, you know, the whole background kind of goes red and swirly, and you see these disjointed frames of Alma. So her presence is continuous throughout the game, or at least through this demo. Like you're walking down a hall, and you're shooting these apparitions, and then all of a sudden you see kind of like a disjointed figure walking to you, kind of like the nurses from Silent Hill,
mm-hmm.
in a sense, the way that she kind of moves. So, I mean, that suspense and that horror and you know, and mind you, there's all this psychic energy kind of going around and glasses shattering and lockers are, like, being pulled off the wall. I mean, it adds to the atmosphere. And for a demo, I was like, holy crap, if the whole game is like this, I'm going to shit my pants.
Yeah, you are, because the whole game's like that. And as you progress through the game,
I bet these fragments
the
of Alma
present,
get
yeah,
more.
They do. So,
I mean, you can tell that she's pissed. Alma is pissed.
She no es a happy chiquititas. I got halfway through the first Fear game and had to put it down and did not return. And I'm okay with that. First and foremost, I'm just glad that it's called Fear 2 Project Orient. Origin,
I know,
because
I know
they were
having some legal issues with the name.
They were having lots of issues, so I was just so happy
but
to
see.
But
at the same time, I'm glad. Like, I'm glad that it's called Fear 2, but at the same time, I'm glad because I know they had made that contest to come up with what the name was going to be, since they couldn't go with Fear 2. That they kept the contest winner's name in the title.
Yeah. It's little things like that that mean so much to the community, which I think people forget that it's the community that drives the business and the sales. And if you don't remember the community is not going to remember you. So yeah. I'm really glad that they did that as well. But it's scary.
Yeah. So I played a little bit after him, and obviously since I have no background in the mechanics, needless to say, I didn't live very long. But I am more gung-ho about this game release than I have been previously before. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And the fact that I've been playing games like Gears of War lately, I feel I will be better apt
going to be a huge, huge help for you, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted you to jump into Gears 2, is because as much as I love music games, and there's definitely going to be a lot of music games coming out, and I'm really looking forward to trying out the U-Rock guitar with Rock Band. The DLC's not stopping any time with that. Then there's that Beatles music game coming out. You've got, you know, special editions of Guitar Hero for Metallica, and Lord knows who else is going to get one specialized to them. The majority of the gaming community now is really focusing on online multiplayer blow-up shit games.
We want to play with people.
We want to play with other people, and we want to play with other people blowing up other things and or people.
Yeah, and or people.
And or people.
At the same time that I was, you know, playing this demo for Fear 2, I also, mind you, I don't have a PS3. So there's a lot of games I don't get a lot of exposure to. But this is really good that I've got friends in real life who live close enough by.
I got friends that, in low places.
That do have consoles that I don't have.
I don't know why I went country there for a second.
I don't know why either. But C also has a PS3. And we had been talking about, you know, the best games of 2008 and how there was so much hype with Metal Gear Solid. And I told him, like, I haven't played any of the games.
Dude, there's always hype with Metal Gear anything. Even the PSP game was hyped.
So, I mean, I heard the hype, but I was like, well, I don't have a PS3, so I'm not going to worry about it. But he's like, you need to come over my house.
Like this
and
moment.
And you need to see what people are talking about. So I took my Thursday off because it's the only day that I don't have classes. And I went over to his house and I saw this, you know, I saw Fear 2 and I also saw Metal Gear Solid 4. And
Metal Gear, not Metal Girl. Metal Girl yeah, Solid is
Metal
different.
Gear Solid 4. Gee. let me say, I know that I'm very late to this party.
Party to the party.
I can't believe you went there either.
I did.
I know I'm late to this party.
I can't help it. I was watching Family Guy last night.
I feel like such a douche because if I had known...
Wait. Time out. Which douche? Summer's Eve or Massengill? Because we all know Summer's Eve sucks.
Yeah, the other one.
Oh, okay. Duh. All right. I just want to know if you felt like a bad douche or a good douche.
I felt like like a middle douche.
I don't know if there's a douche in the middle. Sense, no. Yeah, that's...
I feel like a douche.
Oh, okay.
But I was bombarded with this story. I was so enthused, you know, as I was watching him play through stuff, because obviously I don't know any of the mechanics of any of the Metal Gear Solid games, so he wasn't going to just give me the controller and watch me die, because that would have been very sad and very funny for him, I guess.
Yes.
And, I think one of the most disorienting things about watching the fourth game, knowing that there were three before, I was very surprised at the fact that in this game, you know, Snake looked like an old dude but had, like, this rocking ass. And, you know, half the time you're kind of crawling on the ground and you're shooting, you know, enemies. And I'm like, how can this old man have such a nice bottom? And, you know, that's when C decided to let me know that he's actually very young and he just happens to have this virus that is aging his body. So I was like, oh, so this old guy with this rocking ass isn't actually old.
You were feeling a little conflicted there, weren't you?
You're like, I was like, this old man like, has like a hot body.
Hot old man ass.
I know.
I'm confused.
Like,
Kojima-san, what have you done to me?
Exactly. So, you know, and he's crawling on the ground. He's like humping like a snake. And I was like, I can't look at this old man ass. This but is here's wrong.
The thing. Here's the thing. This is what I loved about aged Snake in this Metal Gear. Kind of, sort of got a Sean Connery thing going on. I'm like,
I know. That's exactly what turned in my mind. I was like,
yummy, yummy.
You know, and I was just like, You know, and right before we started playing the game, he decided to show me the commercials that you can watch before you actually play the game.
Uh-huh.
And in one of the commercials, this lady is actually interviewing the voice actor who played Snake in the game. And, you know, as he started, I'm like, but why'd they have such a young actor play him if he's an older man? You know, and of course, C, being very mysterious, didn't want to tell me right away that, you know, Snake's actually very young. He's just, you know, he's dealing with, you know,
he's got a disease. Don't hate on the Snake.
Like, and then later on, he went to another level of the game, and I was like, oh, that's why. But the thing that intrigued me a lot about this game was that, you know, in most games like these, you know, like I said before, you know, you go against some mid-bosses, and then you find out that one of those mid-bosses is actually, like, the underling of the main guy that you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
And Solid in this game is going after Liquid, which makes a lot of sense, Phases of Matter, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, usually the mid-characters are these badass guys, and they're usually very deranged, and they're insane, and that's kind of the way that it goes. And I like how in this game, the mid-bosses or the mini-bosses that you fight before you even get anywhere close to Solid, they're chicks. And yes, they're attractive for the most part, you know, but they're not fully naked, their boobs don't overly jiggle, and they're seriously deranged in the head.
Yeah.
And it's kind of part of the charm. You know, that Solid, I don't know if it was Solid who actually did all this mental psych manipulation to these women, but, you know, they're referred to as the beast and the beauty unit because they're all gorgeous women who have been, you know, and they all represent, like, an emotion. Like, I think the first one that you fight is Laughing Octopus.
Yeah.
And this fight, because I actually got to see this fight play out, and she is just, you know, crazy, and she's blonde, and, you know, she blends in to the surroundings, and you pretty much walk around this building, you know, and in some places you can kind of see her, but in some places she really does kind of hide, and if you get too close to her, she can fuck you up with her tentacles, you know, and, you know, halfway through the fight they all shed their animal part, like, you know, there's screaming, there's Laughing Octopus, Raving Raven, Crying Wolf, and I don't know, something Mantis.
Praying?
I don't think it's... She is a praying mantis, but there's an emotion to her, too. Oh. I don't remember what it is.
I haven't finished
I think
Metal
it's
Gear.
Screaming Mantis, actually. So, and, you know, so they go through their animal phase where they fight you with the instincts of whatever animal it is that they use. So obviously Octopus has, like, octopus arms. Crying Wolf actually kind of is inside of this mechanical wolf type thing. Raven kind of has these wings. And Mantis has, like, double arms. So that kind of, you know, that sit kind of up.
Okay.
And after they shed their animal part, you fight them in their human form, which is really kind of funny in a way because, you know, you think if they're normal and they're girls... you know, they wouldn't have a lot to, you know, fight.
Right.
Really. Mm-hmm. And I guess the interesting part of their fights are when they're human, when they shed their animal, at one point you kind of go through this photo shoot with them, you know, and you can take pictures of them and they pose very erotically. So not only do you have an action game, but you also kind of have a lot of fan service in this Metal Gear, which I thought was very appealing for those who are inner perverts who want to shoot things.
Mm.
And I was just captivated by
inner pervert go. Let your inner pervert go.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, I think that was very alluring to me. And I mean, that was really the main emphasis of what drew me to this game. If Sony's smart, and so far they have been, they've kept this a PS3 exclusive. And if this ever ports over to 360, Sony should just... Then Sony should just bend over, drop their pants, and take it up Brown Town because they're going to be fucked. and that's my opinion.
I can't believe you. Well, I can believe that you went there, but I don't believe.
Take
that
it up Brown Town. Oh yeah, they should. Because this game, if this was on 360, I could see a lot of people who would not buy a PS3.
Look, it's all about killer app. Okay, it's always been about killer app. Okay, for Sony, killer app has always been Metal Gear.
Yeah.
However, so, Capcom has had a lot of success porting over its games to the 360. I think that you're going to see exclusivity die, really, here in the next year. Yeah. In a recession, no company can afford to only have their content available on one platform. It knocks out too much of the buying audience.
Yeah.
So I think that you're going to see, I hope, one positive thing coming out of the economic downturn that we're in right now is going to be that exclusivity dies. And that you're going to see good games appear on all platforms. Now, you might see some appear on one platform before another. So you're probably going to see more things pop up on the PS3 and on the Xbox a month or 2 months before they release on the other platforms. But I think you're going to start seeing them appear on those other platforms, except for the content that comes directly from a console provider. So the stuff that the SCEA creates, you probably won't see ported over to the Xbox because Sony's going to be like, no, mine down. No, ha ha, hee hee.
Yeah.
But I think that for all of your third party people, Sony's got it right this time
because if that ever ported over, I think they would lose a lot of supporters.
If Konami released Metal Gear on any other platform, and I do mean any other platform, so that's Wii, that's Xbox 360, hell, I'll even go Xbox. If they release that game on any other platform except for the Sony PlayStation platform, Sony would be absolutely, as you said,
fucked up the ass.
Up the A.
They're going to get F'd in the B.
Yes. Repeatedly by, like,
with no lube, 14 which hurts, inch. But
I'm not even going to go there.
But it would hurt, hello.
That's the reason why we're tagged explicit, people. Just in case you were ever wondering how two girls could make a podcast that's tagged explicit. It's pretty much those kinds of comments right there.
What?
It's the truth.
Whatever.
So with that, I think we're going to have to do the ending business.
Yeah.
You got to keep hitting us up on the website, people. www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any comments about those or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader and any podcast search engine. And on top of that, if you're one of the cool kids, you're probably listening to us on the All Games Network.
You can find our show airing on the All Games Radio Network Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can catch our show as well as some great entertainment like Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Live.
Ultimate Quest.
Us, obviously, Esh.
Chatterbox.
Video Game Outsiders.
Bobby Black Wolf Show.
I mentioned Super Happy Fun Time Show.
I don't know if we did or we didn't, but if we didn't, then we did again. There's just all kinds of wonderful, wonderful entertainment over there. If you like what we do, then you'll love the rest of the All Games fam. So check them out, allgames.com, and tell them that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. They love it.
Yeah.
But they love us. So with that, I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it's kind of toasty to me.
Okay, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm just going to eat it because I feel dizzy. Oh, what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm actually going to crumple it up and make breadcrumbs out of it so I can make some meatballs because I'm hungry.
Hey.
I like meatballs.
Not going there.
I hope to God you don't.
I didn't.
So I'm proud of you for that. And I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're gotta here, guys.
Peace.
I think I said we're gotta here, boys, instead of we're outta here, guys.
I know, you're just...
Wow. I'm pretty sure that I did that.
Yep.
Whoopsie! And that's why we don't do the podcast early mornings on Saturday.
My head is beginning to hurt.
Yeah, I haven't had enough
food.
Yeah, but you haven't either.